It is really a pleasure to worship with you today and just to kind of enjoy our gathering together with one another. I do want to make you aware, we got a Christmas gift this week, and so we're running new technology up front. So if the slides go hinky or goofy, we're learning. So help us with that and forgive us when things don't work exactly as we intended them to work. Our scripture lesson for this morning is from the book of Micah, the Old Testament prophet, beginning in chapter 5 and reading simply verses 2 through 4. Listen now to the word of our Lord. But you, Bethlehem, David's country, the runt of the litter, from you will come the leader who will shepherd rule Israel. He'll be no upstart, no pretender. His family tree is ancient and distinguished. Meanwhile, Israel will be in foster homes until the birth pangs are over and the child is born, and the scattered brothers come back home to the family of Israel. He will stand tall in his shepherd rule by God's strength, centered in the majesty of God revealed, and the people will have a good and safe home, for the whole world will hold him in respect. Peacemaker of the world. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we just thank you once again for this opportunity that we have to come together in your name. God, it's a busy season and there's lots going on. We have found ourselves rushing around from place to place. We've found ourselves incredibly busy. God, help us to shift gears in this hour. Help us to find that place where we can just calmly and quietly come into your presence. Calm our hearts, our nerves, our minds, and open our ears and our spirits to hear you speak your word to us. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here we are on the first Sunday of Advent, and believe it or not, this is the beginning of the Christmas season, not Friday. Today is. And you can tell because that blue candle is lit up there, and every Sunday we'll continue to light the wreath and get closer and closer to Christmas Day. And on Christmas Eve, we'll light the white candle to celebrate the presence of Christ in our world, the light that has come to shine in our darkness. In the weeks leading up to Christmas, we have this season that we celebrate in the church that we call Advent, and the word Advent simply means coming. It's a time when we prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ. He came 2,000 years ago, and we prepare ourselves to celebrate that. He's coming again to bring the kingdom of God to its fullness on our earth. But also he comes to us in little ways each and every day. Right here, right now, wherever we find ourselves, we are in the presence of Jesus the Christ. And so we begin the Christmas season. The church is decorated, the trees are up, and we're ready. The Christmas music is being played, and we begin to get our hearts and our minds ready. And you know what? No matter how much preparation I do, Christmas sneaks up on me every year. I don't know how it happens. I know it's coming for months. We work in the church to get ready for it to happen, but emotionally, I think, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for all that comes. And so it's good we have this season to just kind of get our hearts and our minds settled and allow us to hear God speaking to us. This morning we're beginning a new sermon series that I'm shaping around the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And every Sunday for the four Sundays of Advent, we're going to take one verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem and use that as the guide for our worship. And so today we take just those first few words. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Philip Brooks was a 19th century preacher. And in 1865, he had the opportunity to travel to the Holy Land and spend Christmas Eve in Bethlehem. He was staying in Jerusalem at the time. This 6 foot, 6 inch, 300-pound preacher, linebacker size, he rode into Bethlehem on a donkey, and many have said, imagine, well, A, the poor donkey, and B, the sight of this huge man on this little animal. he was staying in Jerusalem, and so he approached Bethlehem in much the same route that the shepherds would have taken. He came through the fields, and he came down on Christmas Eve, and he approached Bethlehem at dusk. He was to perform Christmas Eve worship services for people there, and he celebrated Christmas Eve in the place where Jesus was born. And just saying that gives me chills. I can't imagine what it's like to be there, to be in Bethlehem on Christmas Eve. Now, Pastor Bob's been to Bethlehem. I have not been to Bethlehem. You'll have an opportunity to go there next year if you want to when we go to the Holy Land. But you can imagine what it must feel like to stand in the place where Jesus was said to have been born on the night he was said to have been born. This moved this big man very greatly. He was a preacher in Philadelphia. He wanted to share the experience with his Sunday school kids back home. And he wrote a poem. He wrote a poem about his experience. And 2 years later, they didn't have a new Christmas song for the church to sing. And so he asked the organist to put music to his poem. And we sing, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie." He was looking for quaint. He came into Bethlehem, and it was a quaint little town. It was nice, little, sweet. Yeah, that's not what the Bible says about Bethlehem. Did you hear what Micah called Bethlehem? The runt of the litter. That's not nice. But you, O Bethlehem, the smallest of the clans of Judah, in more traditional translations, that's how it's put there. But the message says it really bluntly. The runt of the litter. From you will come a leader who will shepherd, rule Israel. Now, if you know the Old Testament like a first century Jewish person would, that's a callback. Micah is going back. And he's calling our attention to something that was really important in the life of Israel. If you turn to 1 Samuel 16, you hear the story of the call of David. David, the king of Israel. David was the king of Israel that all other kings were compared to. You weren't a good king unless you measured up to Daniel, or David. Did I have been saying Daniel? Okay, I did. Okay, David. It's David, not Daniel. David. You had to measure up to David. To me, he's like the Abraham Lincoln of, you know, our presidents. You know, you're not a good president. You're always compared to Lincoln, right? They were compared to David. I think in basketball terms, too, you know, the next kid, every kid that comes out of college, is he the next Michael Jordan? In Israel, it was David. Is he the next David? Every leader they were looking for. And we're looking at in Micah, we're talking about a people who were desperately oppressed. They were living in a time when they were being held captive, being attacked. And they were looking for a new leader to rise up. Micah calls us back to David. The story of David is that Saul was the king at the time. And Saul was kind of losing it. He was getting very much into himself and not listening to God anymore. And so God called Samuel, the priest. And he said, "Samuel, I want you to go to Jesse's house. He's one of his sons I've chosen to be king." Guess where Jesse lives? Bethlehem. "Samuel, I want you to go to Bethlehem to Jesse's house. One of his sons has been chosen to be king." Samuel, or Jesse, brings all of his sons and parades them in front of Samuel and say, "Which one is it that's going to be the king?" And they go through all of the boys that have gathered together there that day, and every time one of them comes forward, Samuel goes, "That's the guy. That's got to be the guy." And God says, "No, that's not the guy." All of them go by. And Samuel says to Jesse, "Is this it? Is this all your sons?" And guess what Jesse says? Let me read it to you. "Is that all there is? Are there no more sons?" And Jesse replied, "Well, yes, there's the runt, but he's out tending sheep." The runt is David. David's out tending sheep. The callback that Micah is making, there's three of them there. Bethlehem, the runt, and a shepherd. That's who's coming. The new David is coming. Micah says he'll come. Matthew quotes Micah and says he's already come. The runt is the leader. That seems to be a regular occurrence for God, doesn't it? to use those things that we easily overlook, and suddenly we realize that God was in that thing that we've easily overlooked. That God shows up in sometimes unlikely places because they're just so simple. We look for God in the big and the mighty and the majestic, and God was right there all along. The word Bethlehem simply means house of bread. Beth is house, and so you'll see temples that are called Bethel, which is house of God. Lehem in Hebrew is bread. I tried to make it smell like bread in here. We have fresh baked bread for communion, so we tried to make it smell like bread. I don't know if you're smelling it. I'm not, so I don't know if you are. But I wanted it to smell like bread. I wanted you all to be hungry and be ready to receive the bread. And I imagine that maybe Bethlehem smelled like bread. Because I've been to Hershey, Pennsylvania. Have you ever been to Hershey, Pennsylvania? Yeah. What does Hershey smell like? Chocolate. Right? Hershey smells like chocolate. And the whole town just smells. And if you talk to somebody from Hershey, they will tell you that they know which way the wind's blowing, because when it smells like peanut butter, it's coming from the Reese's factory. And they know that. The whole area just kind of has this smell of chocolate. And I wonder if Bethlehem just smelled like bread. Was it just constantly there, the baking of bread? And it's just bread. It's not even as exciting as chocolate. It's just bread. It was ordinary stuff. It still is ordinary stuff. It's a staple in the diet of almost every culture, some form of bread. When the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, God gave them manna, and they ground it up into flour, and they made cakes. They made bread. When Elijah was stuck and didn't know how his next meal was going to come, God provided a woman who would make him bread every day. Jesus, when he was out in the wilderness and there were 5,000 people who missed dinner, Jesus multiplied fish and bread. It's ordinary stuff that people had. And Jesus even called himself the bread of life, giving us what's eternal and abundant. And on the day before he died, he took bread and said, "This is my body." What I like about the symbol of bread is that it is just so ordinary. And the bread that we're going to use today up on the altar, it was baked, but Laura baked it for us, and we're really grateful for Laura baking it for us. But you know what? I didn't give her a special recipe. It's just bread. There's no special flour that comes from the Holy Land that we make this bread from. It's just bread. What makes it special is we give it to God. And God infuses it and shares it with us. The same thing's true of the juice. It came from a bottle that says Welch's on the label. It's not from a Christian bookstore. It's not from the Holy Land. It's not special grapes stomped by hand. It's just juice, the same juice some mom's going to pour in a sippy cup for her toddler later. But when we bring it here, it becomes something else, because we put it in the hands of God. One of the great symbols of Advent, one of the great symbols of Christmas, is that Jesus didn't come to Bethel. He didn't go to the house of God. He came to Bethlehem, the house of bread. He came to the ordinary stuff, the regular kind of things that are just happening in our lives. And it's not that we need this special Christmas miracle in order to find God in the midst of what's happening among us. All we need to do is to look for God, look for Christ's presence in the everydayness of life. Whether you're at the Broadmoor at a special dinner or in line at Walmart, God's there. Whether you're here celebrating worship with us or you're at home just kind of sitting together, God is there in your midst. Wherever you find yourself throughout this season, you don't need to look for the big and the mighty and the majestic. God is already right there with you. My prayer for you throughout this season is that in the midst of the craziness that comes with the year end, with all of the reports that we have to do, with the holiday parties and all the preparations for Christmas, my hope is that you'll find those places in the ordinary stuff like bread, where God is present to you, where he's blessing you. Let's pray together. God, it's so easy to get caught up in a sense that we need to do something special in order to find you. And yet here in Christmas, we're reminded that it really wasn't an outside holy place, but it was your presence in the place that made it holy. And so, God, we know that is also true today, that you being here with us is what changes things for us. And so I pray that throughout this Advent season that you would give us eyes to see you all around us, to hear your voice in a carol, to sense your presence as we purchase or receive a gift, and to just know, oh God, throughout all of the busyness and all of the noise, we celebrate you, the Prince of Peace. God, guide us and direct us throughout this season to find you in all that we say and in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The bread and the juice that we use this morning has already been consecrated by Pastor Bob. Pastor Bob is an elder and I am a deacon, and Pastor Bob can do those things and I cannot. This is consecrated bread. But I just want to remind you of just how ordinary it is when it's just bread. But on that night, right before Jesus was about to give himself up for us, he took ordinary bread. His didn't have yeast in it. It would have been unleavened bread because they were celebrating the Passover when God said, don't even bother waiting for the dough to rise because I'm coming to get you now. He took that bread and he broke it. Ordinary bread. And said this, this is my body. Take and eat this in remembrance of me. Later in the supper, he took a cup. As I said, we use Welch's grape juice. Jesus had wine. That was a much safer way to store grape juice. And he said, this cup, this may have been Elijah's cup at the table at Passover, a cup of the promise that God was going to save his people. He said, this cup is a cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me. So this morning, we're going to invite you to come forward to receive this sacrament. Ordinary bread and ordinary juice, but it's very special because it's infused with the presence of God in this place, making us holy and extraordinary as well.